Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach. He is Darren Bunch out there in California somewhere. At least we think he's in California still.
I might be.
All right. That's kind of nebulous, and that's kind of the way you are. But I'm glad I'm talking to you wherever you are. Thanks for making us a part of your regular podcasting routine. We are on, as hopefully you know by now, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Player FM, and now, as you know, the fabulous GolfTripX.com, at GolfTripExperts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Darren is?
I am, at GetawaysGolf on Twitter and at GolfGetaways on Instagram.
And I am at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, throughout the online universe, and it is a vast one.
Yes, it is.
Dee, we got a new sponsor, man, and this is really, really exciting.
Yes, Mitch, we have a new sponsor, and I have a new job, or another new job, I guess is the best way to say it. Rams Hill is the sponsor. We have talked about it before on the podcast. It's a Tom Fazio golf course in Borrego Springs, California. It's near the Salton Sea in Palm Springs and just a couple hours over from the San Diego, Orange County, LA corridor. I have joined the team as the marketing director to help with everything from social media to media relations. And I'm probably a consultant on a whole lot of other things that'll end up being. So if you're looking to visit the SoCal desert, reach out to me or my new friend, Will Mayo. No relation to Ashley Mayo, for those of you who know Ashley. Will was with the SCGA, the Southern California Golf Association, for many years. He is now the director of sales. He's the guy to book your big groups and your foursomes and all the people that you want to bring to Rams Hill. You know, it's one of the most fun golf courses I play in Southern California. And I believed that long before I ever got involved with them. And if you haven't made the trip out there yet to check it out, it should be on your list.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of places you've played that I haven't, obviously, and Rams Hill is one of those. And from the beginning, I can attest you have extolled the virtues of Rams Hill up and down, and I can't wait to get out there. I really can't.
It's such a fun golf course. Tim Jackson, now of Jackson Conn, came in and did some of the work. It's an amazing story at Rams Hill, and that it was left for dead, and a very successful businessman out of Colorado came in and bought it and has revived it. And the conditions are fantastic. The golf course is super fun. And for those of you who are worried, I am not leaving Golf Trip X or my role as operations catch-all man for Pacific Gales, the project up in Oregon. I am doing this as well in addition to those things. So if you need to know about Rams Hill, just, you know, reach out to me. You can find Rams Hill on Facebook. Follow them at Rams Hill Golf Club on Instagram.
And the fact that you're throwing your considerable metaphorical weight behind Rams Hill says enough to me, because with all you've seen and done, for you to be that jacked about doing this is really a good sign for them.
You know, after all the food we ate at the Sweetens Cove shootout, it is not just metaphorical weight that I am carrying now.
What do you mean? You're talking about all the whiskey and Fireball and moon pies and barbecue and
milkshakes on the golf course.
Milkshakes on the golf course, yeah. Which go really well with Fireball, by the way.
Oh, man. We will explain and talk about, we'll dedicate a whole episode to what happened all at Sweetens Cove. But for those of you who did not come, you missed out, because it was a good time. And we had a great, super great group of guys who were there. So we're hoping to do another one of those someday. And I probably won't be at Sweetens Cove, but we will find an equally good place. And you should mark it on your calendar already or on your to-do list that you need to come play with the Golf Trip X gang.
Yeah, we'll be able to tell them about 80% of what went on. But 80% is good.
Sure.
Given the kind of trip it was. All right, let's jump from talking about Sweetens in Tennessee to the beautiful, beautiful peninsula that is Michigan. We're going to jump in with my travels on this podcast to what is undoubtedly one of the great summer, fall, and spring golf destinations, as good as you'll find anywhere on the planet. And that is, of course, Northern Michigan. I had a chance to visit again this summer. Last year, you might remember, I got to go up and experience all the great resorts and golf courses associated with Boyne Golf, which blew me away because I had never really played up in Northern Michigan. And I got to go again just a little while ago, and it was an unbelievable trip. So Darren and I are going to kind of dissect it. We'll be talking about, Darren, you've played tons of courses and a lot in Northern Michigan. We're going to do another podcast coming up about your experiences. I'm going to be discussing the Charlevoix area and the Belvedere Golf Club, Mackinac Island, a nine-hole round at the Grand Hotel, and one of my absolute favorite spots on the golf planet, and that is Wawashkamo on Mackinac Island inland, as well as an incredible couple days at Forest Dunes and The Loop, Tom Doak's brilliant reversible layout. So, Darren, as you know, like I said, you've experienced it, but Michigan, I don't know that there's too many better places to go and really experience some great golf than Michigan has going on right now.
I've had people try to make the argument that Michigan is maybe the most golf-rich state in the country. And it's hard to argue with that. The more golf they build, the more you discover it. There's a lot of golf that is really varied in a lot of different ways. You know, it's diverse, and you can find pretty much anything you're looking for in the state of Michigan. So, like you said, I've been a couple of times. I did a trip this summer that we'll recap as well. But, you know, let's get started because I'm excited to hear about Belvedere. It was one of the places that I thought about going on my trip. But because you were there, I opted for a few other different places. Mm-hmm. You actually played in a very prestigious Hickory event there at Belvedere.
Yeah, I did. I'll just give you a quick backstory. Last summer, when I went up to the Boyne properties with our good friend Kevin Frisch from Kevin Frisch PR, who is the force in Michigan golf, and one of the really great guys in the game. But Kevin is a great player, and he and I had played some hickories at the Donald Ross Memorial Course, Boyne property. And while we were playing, he said, you know, you ought to go up next summer, the U.S. Open, the U.S. Hickory Open, is at Belvedere in Charlevoix. And like most people who are going to listen to this podcast, I said, Belvedere, what's that? he lives there, and he knows. He's a member at Kingsley. Kevin is obviously well-connected. And he told me about Belvedere and the upcoming Hickory Open, and I kind of put it on the back burner, said it sounds great. And as the year progressed, he got in touch with me, and he said, if you want to come up and play in it and do a couple other golf courses, you know, for me in terms of media stuff, I'll be happy to get involved and help you do it. So I looked at my schedule and I said, yeah, I can do it. I had never played in the U.S. Hickory Open, although, as you know, I've played in a number of other Hickory events at Mid Pines and different places. And for the first time, and I was like a kid at Christmas. I mean, for the month leading up to this, I was so excited. I couldn't get over it. And when I got there, I realized why this was going to be a special trip. I flew into Traverse City in Michigan, got in a car, and drove not that long, maybe an hour and a half up the coast, and a beautiful drive it is, up to Charlevoix. And a little bit of history of Belvedere for those of you who are going who and what. Belvedere was a course that was opened in 1927. And was designed by a guy named William Watson. And you're sitting there going, who? Okay, big deal. And as happens often in golf, it is a big deal. And William Watson was a big deal, and here's why. And I love this about the game, I swear. To not know who William Watson really was before this blew me away. William Watson was a Scot who came over and was responsible for building places like Minnetonka and Interlaken in Minneapolis, both courses at the Olympic Club, Olympia Fields, and, oh, by the way, 115 other golf courses. Think about that for a sec.
That's a pretty good resume.
So late in, you know, the 1800s, born, came over, he was just an unbelievably prolific designer. He took 150 men and mules at Belvedere. It's a place that over the years has hosted 40 Michigan amateurs, 40 Michigan amateur championships. And these are some of the names of people who have played there. They used to have something called the Great Lakes Open. Walter Hagen, Gene Sarazen, Alex Smith, Sam Snead, Ken Venturi. And here's kind of the kicker to let you know what Belvedere is about, Dee. Tom Watson used to summer in Michigan growing up. He obviously, people who know, grew up in Kansas, in the Kansas City area. But they used to summer up here in Michigan. And Belvedere became his home course. That's where he went and played and practiced. Now, this is a guy who won 5 Open championships. And that tells you everything you need to know about the green complexes at Belvedere. It became kind of his home course. He says, and still says to this day, that behind Augusta National and Pebble Beach, Belvedere is his third favorite course.
I had a guy on my trip, Mitch, to who I was playing with, and somebody I had never met before, but was from the Michigan area that I had just kind of hooked up with randomly on one of my golf stops. And he said it's the best place he's played in Michigan. He just couldn't stop raving about it. And I just think it's got to be one of those unsung heroes, doesn't it? That really talk about hidden gems, and that gets overused way too much, but Belvedere just sounds like one of those places.
Well, here's the best part of what Belvedere is about. Belvedere is a private club, so people go, well, you can't get on it. And that's so not the truth. Marty Joy, who's the head man there and one of the great men in the game, he put together just an unbelievable operation for the Hickory players who came from all over the world, literally, to play in this event. And when you get there, it's kind of an unassuming place, nice clubhouse, small pro shop, really small pro shop. But the members are off the charts welcoming, as is Marty and his staff. And the great thing about Belvedere is, if you're interested in playing there, you get in touch with Marty at Belvedere, and you say, I would like to come and play, and I'm bringing a couple of friends with me. And they're happy to open the club up to you. This is not a restricted public club, a private club where they go, sorry, we have a private membership. They literally love people coming there. And that was another aspect of this, once I was there for 4 days, that really blew me away. It's an incredibly welcoming place. They're happy to have people come. And
it sounds like, the clubs we love in Scotland.
Yes.
You know, exactly like that.
Yeah. And I think that's because of the history of the place.
Sure.
You know, from William Watson coming over, and from the kind of people that were there early, they have the largest Hickory membership of any place as a private club, an actual Hickory membership of people that just play Hickories, I think, of any place in the country.
Nice.
And they're really dedicated to the old way of playing the game and looking at the game. So they don't look at it. They look at themselves as stewards. They had volunteers on the course, members of the club. They usually had at least 2 of them at different spots. There's a lot of trees on the course. And there's a lot of places you can kind of lose track of balls because the rough was up a little bit. They had at least 2 volunteers that I counted on every hole that were just members that volunteered to help out during the Hickory Open.
Nice.
And really terrific people. And the course, like I said, these green complexes are just amazing. And a great story. The course had gone since it opened for a long time. And 3 years ago, they found in an old house near the golf course the original drawings of the golf course of William Watson. And they'd never seen him before. They had some aerial shots of the course in an earlier time, but they found all the original plans. And 3 years ago, they went in and they redid the golf course back to the original plans of William Watson. So they expanded the greens, which had grown in, and, you know, things like that. They changed the fairways. Some of the bunkering they changed, which had dramatically changed how the golf course played. So now, not only do you get a feel for what the course was originally, but it's in unbelievable shape. And so, you know, it's Watson says the 16th hole is a great example. It's a par 4, and you play to, hopefully, the fairway. And then you have one of those really daunting shots to an elevated green that sits on the side of a hill. And Watson called it one of the great par fours in America, and it is. And because of the slope off the hill and the undulations in this green, if you don't put it in a good spot on the green on the approach, you're dead. And I don't mean just dead like you have no putt. I saw two guys, one of the three rounds I played, two of the guys I was with, literally from one side of the green on the left, trying to get to a pin on the back right of the green, put it off the green and down a 20-foot slope. So it doesn't just go off the green. You're 20 feet below the green surface when you're down there.
Sounds like a little bit of what I did at Sweetens Cove.
Well, there's Sweetens Cove. I think of the ninth at Tobacco Road, you know, where you're standing in the fairway and you're going, I better hit a shot here.
Yeah.
And you see people hit a great shot and have a shot at birdie, and you see tens.
Yeah.
Like it's nothing. People just go, okay, here we go.
Which is what we love about golf. We love those holes that give you the opportunity to go low, but can be disaster holes as well.
Yeah. So all in all, Belvedere is a place I would heartily suggest you trying to get to if you haven't been near there. It was a great start to my trip. Rick Weniker won the U.S. Hickory Open for the second time. Fantastic guy and a great player. Won it by a shot over two rounds and just a great accomplishment, especially on a golf course like Belvedere. Really kind of a historic win for those of us in the Hickory game. So congrats to Rick. And again, thanks to Marty Joy and his members and his staff for putting on a truly fantastic event. And, you know, I don't know if I would have gotten there if Kevin hadn't mentioned it, but man, am I glad I did there. That was just off the charts.
Something interesting that you mentioned, since we are a travel show, as much as we are a golf show, you said you flew into Traverse City, which I didn't even know was a thing that you could do. I've always driven into Michigan one way or another. But we should talk just for a moment that if you liked your experience of flying into Traverse City, that's probably the way to do it because there is so much golf accessible from there. We've talked about True North Club, a Jim Eng designed club that Eric and I went to a few years back is in that area. Obviously, Bay Harbor and the Boyne properties are all accessible from there. Going up the other side of the bay, on my trip, I went up to Northport Creek, the little nine-holer that we'll spend some time on in a future episode. There's just a ton of golf. If you fly into Traverse City, you can build yourself a golf vacation of all golf vacations, anywhere from 3 days to a month, probably, and not play the same golf course twice.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I talk often about the great destinations where you build excitement and anticipation. And that is what you feel in Traverse City also, because you fly in there and it's not, you know, it's for me from Myrtle Beach, it wasn't a direct flight. It took a little while to get to Traverse City. But once I got there and you get in a car and you start driving and the scenery is obviously gorgeous. I'm a little upset that I was there in the summer, which is incredible. But the fall, I kept thinking about what the drive would look like.
Oh, it would be
fantastic. On the way up there. Because you've got not only the leaves changing, but you've got the different bodies of water, and it's so beautiful just being in the car and getting there. That's a big part of what the beginning of this trip was for me. I didn't know what to expect when I got, I had actually been to Charlevoix when I was at the Boyne properties last year. But I had no idea what to expect when I got to Belvedere. And I just knew I was excited. And the trip to Traverse City, as you said, adds to it because it's off the charts what Michigan offers you when you get there.
Yep, definitely. And in the Traverse City area, and we'll talk a lot about this in my version of this Michigan podcast, it has Moomer's, which is one of the best ice cream shops I found anywhere in the world. And where you actually order your milkshake and then step out on the porch and watch the cows wander below in the field right there. You have a view of the cows who gave you the milk for your milkshake.
Did you give thanks?
Oh, definitely. Got to thank Joe Colangelo for that as well because...
No, I don't mean Joe. I mean to the cows.
No, I mean I did. I gave a tip of the cap to the cows. Okay. Joe Colangelo is who turned me on to it after we played Kingsley Club, which you mentioned with Kevin Frisch. So anyway, You also went on this trip then. You headed up to Mackinac Island, which I try to call Mackinac Island all the time because of the way it's spelled.
Yes, correct. And I think when I first heard of it too, which was my lovely wife, Ava, who moved from Sweden to Michigan, to the Lansing area when she moved to the States. When I first met her, she started talking about Mackinac and said, we've got to get up there sometime. It's unbelievable. It's so beautiful, the Grand Hotel. And I had seen it in, if people are familiar with the movie Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour, that was the hotel that that movie was shot at.
So you realize you just named two people who most of our listeners have never heard of, right?
Well, Christopher Reeve was Superman. Get out of here. And Jane Seymour was Jane Seymour.
She was, wasn't she Medicine Woman?
Yes.
Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman?
So. Yes, she was Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, and people probably have never heard of that.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But if they haven't, the hell with them. That's what I say. But anyway, I had heard about Mackinac and how beautiful it was, and I knew Northern Michigan was gorgeous. So this was a chance for not just myself, but Ava, my wife, and our two great friends, Bob Paskey and Vicky Paskey, who live in Lansing, and we've known for years and years and years, for the four of us to get to take this next part of the trip. And this was pretty special. We always talk about trips with friends, and this was one of those that we'll all look back on because we got to, I drove up and met them, the three of them, in Mackinac City, just on the other side of the water from Mackinac Island. And we stayed that night, and then at 8 o'clock the next morning, we took a ferry because there are no cars on Mackinac Island, which is, again, if you want heaven and some place that you can just get away from it, this is it. So we took the ferry over at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we were going to stay at the Grand Hotel that night. We parked our bags in there, and at about 10 o'clock in the morning, we went over, and right on the property across from the Grand Hotel, and when I say Grand Hotel, you have to Google it if you're not familiar with it, because it is grand. It's just a breathtaking spot that's been there since 1887. And it has
older than my golf clubs.
Older than either of our golf clubs. Either of our golf clubs, which was kind of cool. But the hotel itself sits up on top of a hill, overlooks just this incredible view of the water that's right there. And I believe it's the Straits of Mackinac, if I'm not mistaken. But it's a third generation family owned hotel. It's the history there is just stupid. It's got the world's longest porch. If you ever thought about, well, I wonder what the world's longest veranda is. Well, it's at the Grand Hotel. And the whole thing is just grand. The rooms, the meals, the dining experiences, you kind of feel like you're on a big cruise ship because everybody eats at the same time. But most important to us and to me, well, to me, might not have been to the other three, Bob and I, the most important experience was walking over. There's 2 9-hole golf courses at the Grand Hotel. Together, they're called the Jewel. And they are, well, one of them, the Grand Course, yeah, the Grand Course, is right on the property. So you walk across a little street where the horse-drawn carriages go by. That will become important shortly. But the horse-drawn carriages walk by, and you walk across beautiful pro shop and a putting green, and you get a look at some of the most beautifully manicured, landscaped golf holes from the pro shop that you'll find anywhere. And that is the Grand Nine. And it was first designed in 1901, the golf course. So it was there for a long time. And then in 1987, a really great upper U.S. architect named Jerry Matthews came in 1987 and redid it. And they really did the golf course the right way. As I said, the landscaping's off the charts. It's not a long course, but it is tough. It is tough, Darren. 9 holes, small greens, beautiful bunkering around those greens, a lot of trees, as you can imagine, you're in northern Michigan. Water holes, waterfalls, views for miles. About 3 of the holes, you can see the Grand Hotel right in front of you, sitting up on the hill. And he did an amazing job. And the greens are really tough. They have a lot of movement in them for small greens. Not easy to hit them. And if you're off, you got to have a good short game. It's a really challenging and fun and beautiful nine holes of golf.
It's funny you mentioned Jerry Matthews, too, is that I have, after my trip this summer, a bit of a love-hate relationship with Mr. Matthews. I played a lot of Jerry Matthews golf. I had never heard of him before. And, you know, some of it was very, some of it was good. Some of it was a little overly penal, like at St. Ives where I played. And then some of it is fantastic. He is actually the guy who designed the nine hole Northport Creek, golf course that we'll talk about, up there. And so, and built just a couple of really, really great golf holes on that little nine holer. So, he's an interesting guy that I have begun to research a little bit more and try to get an idea of all the different things that he's worked on, because, he does have an interesting design eye, and you know, the golf courses that he's prolific in a way in Michigan.
Yeah. And one of the things that's interesting, and you think about it, as opposed to some of the other courses, I would imagine you have to, this course has to be playable because right. It's the Grand Hotel.
Yep.
You get tons of tourists during the summertime and the fall when the leaves change. And so if you make it too penal, if it's too hard, it's not going to be a place that's really going to attract golfers. And this has, I think, a really great mixture, especially from the different tees. Again, the four of us, and this will come into play later when we talk about the loop and what's so great about that at Forest Dunes. My friend Bob is a 6 handicap. My wife is probably a 15. I am what I am, playing with hickories. And Vicky, Bob's wife, is not that good. Honestly, she's just not that good.
Right.
She plays fast and she loves the game, but she's not great. And so we had four different types of golfers, and all of us played this course and the loop when we get to talk about it, and loved it because it had so many different elements for everybody. You know, Bob wanted to go out and really hit shots. I wanted to hit shots, but I'd go, man, look at those flowers. And there's a lot of elevation change. So you get really, really interesting variety of holes. And it was just a great experience. And I, like I said, I hadn't expected it. I didn't know what to find. And it was a great way to start the Mackinac Island experience.
And you played, and so you mentioned the horse-drawn carriages. What,
yes.
What is that story?
Well, we did not. The other nine holes at the Grand Hotel is called the Woods, and that's inland. And that was built by Matthews in 1994. We didn't get a chance to play that nine, though I would have liked to. We chose to play another nine hole course. But the way you get to both the Woods and Wawashkamo, which I'm about to get into, which is further inland on Mackinac Island, is by a horse drawn carriage.
Nice.
And the Woods is about a mile and a half from the Grand Nine. Takes about 15 minutes to get there by horse-drawn carriage. They put your clubs on the back of the carriage. You climb in, and then you go through the woods. And as far as I can tell, it's the only horse-drawn carriage way to get around golf courses in America. It's the only place where you can do this.
And I would think so. Although yeah, I'm going to build that into my next project.
Well, I think, you know, the great thing about it is not only a talking point, but it's incredibly relaxing. You really feel like you're on vacation.
Yep.
There's nothing stressful about what's going on there. And I wish we, hopefully next trip I'll get to play the Woods because it's supposed to be a very different kind of course inland. But then we had decided, Bob and I were going to go out together. Ava and Vicky did some stuff at the hotel and chose to hang. But I had talked to Kevin Frisch again about playing Wawashkamo, and I'd never heard of it, like most people. And he said, just trust me when I tell you, you've got to get to this course. You have to, as a hickory player, you have got to go. So we made a time for a couple hours. We had some lunch, and Bob and I get on the horse-drawn carriage. And this is a further drive. This is about a half hour by horse-drawn carriage. So you're having a good time talking, listening to the hooves clattering on the road there. And by the way, just as a side note, those horse-drawn carriages are all over Mackinac. Bicycles and the carriages are the only way you can get around. And there's something so sweet and time travel about getting around that way. I really, really loved it. But anyway, we jump on, we go to Wawashkamo, and here's the deal with Wawashkamo. This course was built in 1898. It was built by a 9-hole course, and it was built by, designed by Alex Smith. So you and I know Alex Smith because we're Hickory players. A lot of people don't realize from the great Smith family of Scotland, Willie Smith, McDonald Smith, Alex Smith, all of them great golfers. Alex Smith in 1898 was 24 years old, and he'd come over from Scotland, and he went to Mackinac, and on the site of one of the great battles of the War of 1812, the Battle of Mackinac Island, where the Americans fought the British, that battle site is the site of Wawashkabo.
Wow.
So not only is the history of Alex Smith and golf, Alex Smith went on to win two U.S. Opens in 1906 and 1910. So not only a great designer, but an incredible player and champion. But in 1898, at 24, he lays out this golf course. And most people at that point did not really have a good idea of what golf was about. The brilliant thing about Wawashkabo and the people who've cared for it over the last more than 100 years, obviously, is that it has gone unchanged since 1898. They didn't come in and go, okay, we got to redo this for length. We've got to do this. They take care of it. Chuck Olson, who's the head pro and general manager, his wife Susan, their staff, they have a couple people who take care of it, and it is as much fun as I've had on a golf course.
It's only
9 holes.
Is it in good condition?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's not, the thing is, you don't go there and say, I want it immaculate. And this
right.
is what's great about these kinds of courses that you and I talk about all the time. It's in perfect condition for the kind of course it's supposed to be. So it's not perfect. You're going to get lies. The fairways are cut, but there's a lot of heather rough around. The bunkers are, they're kind of raked, but they're not perfect. There's grass around them. But it is in fantastic shape for the experience of Wawashkabo.
Cool.
And when you walk off, it's 9 holes, but it's meant to be played as 18 because what they did was they designed two sets of tees for every hole. So, for example, it's 1 and 10. And when you're playing it from the different set of tees, and this is true for every hole, you get a completely different yardage and a completely different angle.
And you play to the same,
green.
As the opposite of what we just did at Sweden's Cove, where we had two pins on every hole. Okay.
Yes. And the greens are so small because they were built in 1898.
Sure.
And in reading about it, the interesting part of the history is irons had just really started coming into play at that point. Before they were all long-nosed play clubs. But Alex Smith had started playing an iron game, and so he designed these greens to make people use these different irons that were in their bag. And so some of them, and it's beautiful too. It's in the middle of the woods. It's trees and just gorgeous. But there's one hole that really was representative of what this is about. And it's called the Circus Ring. That's the name of the hole. And it's not a long hole. From one set of tees, it plays about 330 yards. From the other one, it's about 270. But the difference is it's a really small green, and it is completely surrounded on the outer edge of the green by heather that is knee high. So originally when he designed it, the heather circled the entire green. So you literally came in with a short iron over the heather. You could not run the ball up.
Okay.
They redesigned it. They went in 1989. Yeah, 1989. And they left the heather at knee height, but they cut about a 5-foot opening in the front of the green.
Okay.
So you could see the green, because otherwise you just see this heather and you got to trust there's a green there. But it's one of the coolest holes I've ever played. And they have a little, explanation of it there. And that's the kind of experience that Wawashkabo is. And again, I'm going to give big props to Chuck Olson, to Susan, his wife, to his son, Charlie, who works with Kevin Frisch, and that's how I first really heard about Wawashkabo, because his father is the head guy there. And when I got there, I just wanted to stay all day. I wish I could have just stayed for a week and played that course.
You're out there with the Hickories.
Yep.
And your friend Bob is not playing Hickories.
Correct.
So, you can attest to the fact that people who are playing would go out there with modern clubs would have equally as good a time as you had.
Yes.
Huh.
Not even a question, because, you know, and this is what we love about courses like this. You get on that tee, you don't just pull a driver just because it says par four.
Right.
It's not what you do. You got to look at it. You think of the yardage. What do I want to try? Where do I want to hit it? Do I want to try to drive it up near the green? Because a lot of times the area around the green is not the place to be.
Yeah.
You know, you'd rather be 75 out or 100 out or whatever. It's just it's challenging enough. It's incredibly fun. The history is all over the place. There's a canon when you go to the clubhouse. The first hole, you get to the highest point on the property is this hill that overlooks about four of the opening holes and the closing hole. And there's a cannon from the War of 1812 and the battle in 1814.
That's outstanding. Up there
with a couple of rocking chairs next to it. And, you know, at the first tee, they have a sandbox. You can make sand tees if you want.
Nice.
It's great. And inside they have all the memorabilia, pictures of Alex Smith, information about him, and they just do it right. They have a number of hickory tournaments there, Dee.
Oh man, I can imagine that.
Big ones.
It sounds like it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, people come from all over. So hopefully you and I can get back up there. And so that was a great next stop.
Perfect.
And then thanks to Kevin, we got a chance to go to Forest Dunes, which I had wanted to go to for years. We did not experience the Tom Weisskopf designed dunes course, the original course at Forest Dunes, which is a top 25 course in the country.
And it's fantastic, by the way. It's one of the better Weisskopf courses you'll probably find anywhere. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, I was there with Eric Hart and his son Dylan a few summers back, and I highly recommend it. If you're going to Forest Dunes, try to make sure that you book enough nights to be able to play the loop both ways, which we'll talk about, but also make sure you play the Forest Dunes course, the original course. And now, obviously, Keith Reb and Riley Johns are building a short course that is going to be fantastic, I'm sure, as well.
Well, we'll get to Keith and Riley shortly, because that was a part of my trip, which was incredibly fortunate. But I have to say that everybody I talked to while we were at Forest Dunes, which was for 2 days, everybody I talked to, from the staff in the pro shop to people we met up with, and I would just ask them, because you can only see a couple of the Weisskopf holes from the clubhouse and the surrounding areas. But everybody I talked to said the same thing, which was that they love that golf course. And it's pretty rare to kind of hear from people unanimity of opinion, but everybody I talked to said they really love playing it. So even before the loop got there, that was a spot that people liked to go. And it's in Ross Common. You know, we left Mackinac Island, went back, got in our car, and it's about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive down to Ross Common in the middle of nowhere,
right,
Michigan. And again, as is happening all over the country, and it's the brilliance of what this movement that's going on of, if you build it, they will come. You get to Ross Common and you're just driving on a country road going, where am I? And then you turn in. So getting there, we checked into our villa. They have a couple different lodging accommodations. We checked into one of the golf villas, which was just beautiful.
Yeah, they are outstanding.
Really, really well done. Incredibly modern, but comfortable, and great common rooms. Just wonderful place to stay. And then we got to go out. And again, I had heard about the loop. And every time I read about it and thought about what Tom Doak did, I couldn't quite get my mind around what the loop was. I kept going, okay, I get it's reversible. I get you play clockwise and counterclockwise. I kind of get it, but I had no picture of it, Darren. And I don't know if that happened to you before you played it, but the experience of what Doak has done there, to me, is one of the great things I've seen in golf.
Yeah, to me, the magic of the loop is that you stand on a green, especially the second time around, you stand on a green and you say, oh, I played this green from this direction yesterday, and today we played it this way, and it's an entirely different golf hole. And even down to the putting, because your approaches are going to end up in different places coming from different angles. So you're going to be faced with different putts, and it's that's the the brilliance of it. He was a magician in how he put it together. And obviously, we've talked a lot about Dan Hickson's creation at Sylvie's Valley Ranch, but it's a different type of thing. Dan didn't have to fit it into as tight of a formula because he built 27 greens and then they play them in different ways. The fact that Doak was able to do this and figure it out and make it work, and it's fairly successful in what he did. I mean, there are a few places you can quibble with the idea that, well, this hole's too hard from this side where it's natural from the other side type of a thing. But for the most part, it really is an amazing feat of design and engineering of how he created it and how he put it together.
Yeah, and I mean, because we had, and again, it was the four of us of differing abilities. And so when you first get to that first tee, and you're on it's not a tee box, it's literally a fairway with that small flag just planted in the ground, you know, 2 feet high.
Right.
And that's the tee. And you can play from kind of supposedly, theoretically, a couple club lengths around that. But from the first minute that I stepped on that, I was hooked. Because I said, this is the coolest teeing area I think I've ever been on. And the fact that, you know, one day you'll play it. We played the black, you know, the first day we stepped out there. Yeah, clockwise was the black in the afternoon. And then the next day when you're playing it red, which is counterclockwise, you can have a teeing area on one hole on the black that is part of the middle of the fairway on the red.
Right.
And so once you start going around and you start, okay, understanding which flags to hit into and what color the flags are and where what you're doing, I literally was blown away by it. The other part of it for players like you and I, and what made it brilliant to me for other players, like my wife and Vicky specifically, who don't hit it as far as Bob and I do, because it's a fescue golf course, it's as close to being in Scotland and playing ground game golf as you're going to find anywhere. And so your shots run.
Yep.
And, you know, Vicky and Ava would hit a shot that they might normally hit a drive, say, 175 yards. And all of a sudden, their ball is 250 from the tee.
Yeah.
And man, were they excited.
Yep.
They flipped out.
Yeah, it plays hard and fast, and it probably not as hard and fast as when I played it, because we played it just shortly after opening when everything was hard and fast. I'm assuming it softened up a little bit, but they've done
But it hasn't that much, Dion.
Right,
telling
they've done
you,
a great job with the fairways of making it to keeping it playing hard and fast, and that I think is the brilliance of the property as a whole. In that it is dramatically different from going to play the what is essentially kind of a parkland course over at Forest Dunes that, as you said, people love. It was a highly regarded golf course long before the Loop ever came along. But now you really have this 1-2 punch, or this 1-2A, 2B punch, or however you want to explain it, where you can play, you know, three different rounds of golf that are all very different.
Yep. And that's, again, I just thought for it to be in a place like Forest Dunes, where you're out in the middle of Michigan, unexpected. The greens are spectacular. I was talking about them because, as I said, it's fescue on all the fairways. It's a fescue mix on the fairways. And then the greens are this bent grass mix. Although they putt like, you do feel kind of like you're in Scotland still.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, really fast. But it's something called, how about this? Dominant Extreme 7. That's the mix of bent that they have on the greens. So I just thought I'd throw that in because I never get to say Dominant Extreme 7 ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but the you know, there's not tons of bunkers, but there's enough. And if you're in them in the wrong spot, they're tough to get out of. But the natural areas and the waste areas are more the hazards. And because the ball runs so much on the fairways and off the fairway, you can get into some trouble in that area too. So there's plenty of challenge, but my wife and Vicky had a great time. They thought the shots were fun and different, even if they didn't, you know, make putts or didn't get on the green. They had a blast. Bob, I think he shot 80-81 going around both ways. He loved it. As you know, I go out for the experience. I didn't keep score when I played. I just tried to hit shots. So everybody had their kind of day on the loop. And I can't wait to get back there. I really can't, because one way each way was not enough for me.
Well, I'm the same way. I want to get back there and see it again. Obviously, when we go back to see the short course, I will tell people, you know, we mentioned the Sweetens Cove shootout that we just finished up. You know, we're already talking about what we want to do in 2020 for that kind of an event. And Forest Dunes is near the top, if not at the top of the list of places we might want to take a big group and do another Golf Trip X event. So
yeah, it is the perfect. It's going to be perfect.
Yeah, it's the perfect kind of place.
Well, here's why it would be great for our trip. As I said before, we mentioned the new short course, 10 holes, par threes, 10 par threes, that Keith Rebb and Riley Johns have. They're pretty much finished. They've grassed it in, and it's starting to really look like the place that they envisioned. And while I was there, about 2 weeks before I went, I realized that they were going to be there working on the golf course. And when I got there, they were. I met up with Keith in the bar the first night, talked to him for a while. Next morning, went out and hung with Keith and Riley, and in the dirt. It was still dirt, but it was worked enough so that you could see where the greens were, where the bunkers were going to be. And just walking around in the dirt with those two brilliant guys and two of the nicest guys you'll ever find was a treat, Darren. That's the kind of thing, if you're a golfer and you get to see it before it's an actual course, to go back there. I mean, this is the kind of place it's going to be. Keith says to me, we're standing on, I forget which hole it was going to be, but he said, okay, here's a good example. This hole is 100 yards. There's the green, a little elevated, the slopes and the hillside. And he said, we want you to be able to play the entire course with a putter if you want.
Nice.
And I just went, okay, I'm in. I don't care. He said, we want you to be able to play it with a putter and a wedge. You can take a 5-iron and hit knockdown shots. You can do this, you can do that. And he said, and how's this? The bar, as you know, it's got a great restaurant in Forest Dunes, by the way, like high-end restaurant, as well as a great bar. He said, okay, the bar part comes out in the back of the clubhouse area. The first tee of the short course, I think they might call it the hilltop, but the first tee is literally steps off the bar. So you step all out of the bar onto the first tee. Then he said, and I think it's after the fifth hole, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me, but I think it's the fifth hole. Up on the side of the hill up top, he said, there's going to be another smaller bar up there.
Nice.
Like a halfway house bar,
yep,
on a 10-hole par 3 short course. He said, because we figure people are going to want to, and they're going to be playing kind of in the dusk, and they're going to want to have a bar up there too, so they can play the back nine and have some fun.
Well, that's
the way they're looking at it.
And that's what happens at the Preserve at Bandon,
right?
Has a bar out there while you're playing. That's the way to do it, because these guys are going to be playing late into the afternoon and probably until dark. And, that's what people want to do. They want to drink.
Well, yes, but it's going to be, think about it. You've got the Weisskopf, you've got the loop both ways, and you've got a 10-hole short course that's brilliant in design. I don't know. Again, this is another place that you could go and spend 3, 4, 5 days with your friends and just never leave and have the greatest of times.
So, and the rumor is there will be another golf course that'll get built there as well.
Yep, and there's going to be more accommodations, and you can feel it. You can really feel Forest Dunes as the destination that it's destined to become.
Yep.
That's the way I felt when I was there. I want to give a shout-out before we leave. As I said, the Villa's a great place to stay. They have something called the Lake Ausable Lodge, which is 11 standard rooms and 2 suites, so you have that option as well. Don Helsinki is the director of operations, and the guys that I met who really took care of us when we were there. The head pro for all the golf is a guy named Elliot Oscar, who's a wonderful guy. His staff in the pro shop was fantastic. And the super over at Forest Dunes, the Weisskopf course, is named John Wessels, and he obviously does a great job. But I did get to hang on one of the holes at the loop with Rob Falconer, who's the super for the loop. And these guys do just an off-the-charts job keeping it the way it is and keeping it with a Scottish feel and keeping everything the way it should be. And Darren, as you know, he also has Duchess, his dog.
Yes.
who was basically born on the golf course and is about a year and a half old. And I didn't, Duchess came out, Duchess is all over the course on the cart with Rob. And Duchess jumped off and he and I started playing. And I really felt like saying to my wife and Bob and Vicky, okay, see ya. I'm staying with Duchess. It was just a great experience. So all in all, obviously, can't say enough about Forest Inns.
Well, it sounds like a great trip you had. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot more about Michigan. My trip covered Arcadia Bluffs, where I play the new South course, and I made my return to the Bluffs course at Arcadia Bluffs, which I have been somewhat critical of on the podcast over the years. And so we will talk about that kind of 1-2 punch experience that Arcadia now has. I went to Tullymore, St. Ives, and Bucks Run. Tullymore being a Jim Ng course. I played a lot of Jim Ng golf over the summer, so that'll be good to talk about. We've mentioned Northport Creek. It's just a fantastic little story there in Northport, a little 9-hole community golf course that has kind of replaced a course that got closed down for essentially no reason, which is an interesting story and a success story. And then there are a ton of private clubs that I got to experience. Kingsley Club, which we've mentioned with Kevin. The Dunes Club, which is the Kaiser's kind of first and I think only private club they have there in Michigan, just off of Lake Michigan. And I played Tom Doak's Lost Dunes, which is an incredibly interesting golf course that the two nines are bisected by a major highway, which I found incredibly interesting. So, and then we'll talk a ton.
You're still alive, even after playing Lost Dunes.
I am. That is right. And then we'll talk a lot about Journeyman Distillery. We've had Bill Welter on the show before, who owns Journeyman Distillery. They're actually building a new facility in Indiana. But the one there in Michigan, I got to go there for the first time, get the tour of the whole place. I stayed right there in some lodging that they had, and then they have built a brand new putting green out back that is fantastic. It's like a Himalaya style putting green, and it is called Welter's Folly, and it is super fun. We if you saw me on the social media, we had some putting contests until well after dark. It's lighted a little bit so that you can go out there and just keep playing and have whiskey brought out to you while you're putting, and it's fantastic. So that's all coming up on the next episode of our Michigan-themed Talking Golf Getaways. And for now, though, you probably have a few more shout-outs as well for your fantastic trip.
Yeah, and I think what's important to remember, we're obviously talking about spending the summer, but with fall coming up in the next couple of months, you know, September, October, and into November, there are not too many places that are going to be more beautiful than Michigan and the Upper Peninsula. And so if you're thinking about doing it, now's a great time, and you can enjoy what we did, but with the leaves turning and the colors, and it'll take it up about 10 notches. So I think that's a good thing to think about. I wanted to give a shout out to Boyne once again. I got to stay at Boyne Mountain and the Boyne Mountain Resort while I was playing Belvedere for 3 nights, and it's one of my favorite spots. Fantastic lodging, great golf around it, and all kinds of things for the family to do too. So thanks to Boyne, and thanks to the Boyne Mountain Resort for those accommodations. And again, to Kevin, who set the whole thing up. He is the man, Kevin Frisch PR, kevinfrischpr.com. You can find out a lot about what Kevin does. And thanks again, buddy. This was another trip I'll never forget. So grateful to you and Darren, grateful to the listeners, as always.
As always, we have to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without them. And, you know, we learned that even more at Sweetens Cove. There were so many guys who played at Sweetens Cove, and we were out talking to them. And guys who knew the podcast had gone and done things that we had mentioned on the podcast. And, we had a guy, John Marshall, who was a great guy, who was there with his father, and, you know, he was like, oh yeah, I went on that because you guys had mentioned it on the podcast. Or he had played Tobacco Road, and he went specifically to Yarborough's for ice cream because of how much we talk about Yarborough's on the podcast. So, we couldn't do it without those guys. Be sure to check out all the content posting each week at golftripx.com. We will have a ton of stuff posting here in the fall. We have a lot of Alabama coverage still coming from our partnership with Alabama as well. Reach out to us on the social media at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We love talking golf travel with our friends on the social media. So just reach out, ask us any questions you want. Tell us the things that you love to do, the places you love to go, and let's keep the conversation going.
Do it. You know, we're talking about it, Darren. Michigan seems like a dream to us now, for sure. But we hope you out there can run down some dreams of your own. Thanks for being with us. So long.